This is Major Mike to Rich Control. I'm putting on the headphones, and I'm talking in a very peculiar way. And this podcast sounds very different today.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanza.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have some topics that we have planned out for you, but, you know, sometimes we go off on a random tangent and such. But nevertheless, this is part of what makes us the Crispy Noodle Podcast, the perfect meal for your mind.
That's right.
Yep. Before we launch into all of those topics, let's do a little introduction and recap as to what we've been up to in the week or so since we had our last show. So, Mike, what have you been up to? What's going on? What's going on in the world of Michael Costanza? The world wants to know!
I've been making sausages.
Yeah! No! It was sausage weekend?
Yes.
I missed sausage weekend!
Yeah.
Sausages!
Why didn't you give me the invite?
Well, there might be another one, so.
Sausages!
So, I don't know.
You gotta invite me!
So here's the thing, we didn't actually make sausages this time.
What?
We made super
sausages! No sausages! Sausages!
By the way, I would just like to say, for all those who are new listeners to the Crispy Noodle Podcast, yes, I have two sound clips, one for no sausages and one for yay sausages.
For any situation.
Yeah, just in case.
You see, it worked in this case.
Yeah. One that's a positive affirmation for sausages and one that's not.
So, like, new listeners have no idea how many clips you actually have. You have, I mean, we're not going to go through them all now. But, like, hundreds and hundreds of clips from those random moments ever. And those sausage clips are just a small example.
Yes.
A microcosm, if you will.
Sausages!
All right, yes. So this wasn't sausage weekend, or this was?
So
you're flip-flopping on me.
I'm going to... All right.
What's the truth?
The truth is, and I can handle the truth, is...
You can't handle the sausage truth!
I can. And this is the truth.
Give me the casing!
We were making supersata, which is like sausage, but not really sausage. I can't really describe it. Americans would call it like dried spiced ham, quote unquote. But
it's very tasty.
It is very, very
tasty.
I've
had a sampling of this.
So we made supersata, and some other weekend in January, we're going to be making the actual sausages because we're trying to cut down on the number of people that are showing up. Because it gets too hectic sometimes when we have a large group. So this year is just...
Oh, yeah, people are cutting into the sausage action.
Well, you know, it's tough when everybody comes at once. So this weekend, we tried to, like, trickle in people over the course of the whole day. So over the course of the whole day, you know, like 15, 16 people stopped by. And they would drink. They would have some food. We would laugh, listen to music, make some supersata. It's like a day-long party. You know, like I was there for like 5 hours. And I was only really there for half of it. You know, there's so much other stuff that goes on that I wasn't even there for.
Sausages!
Exactly. So we have to do it all again some other weekend to do the second half of it, because we only got half of it done.
We need to send a camera crew to this thing.
So maybe for the second one, you should come up for a little bit. And you can bring your camera and document it all. Because it really is a huge event. It's incredible.
It is in your family. I said this last year, and I'll say it again. This is akin to, like, choosing the Pope. You guys throw the wax on the door. Nobody's leaving the kitchen until all of the sausages are made.
That's right. We did 120 pounds of meat this weekend.
120 pounds?
And that's only half, Rich. That's only half. We still have to do the sausages and probably more supersata. We finished with 100 individual supersatas. It's amazing.
Mike, I weigh 220 pounds.
Yeah.
Right now you're talking about, if you're saying half of the sausage is 120 pounds.
Yeah.
Right now you're talking about sausage meat.
Yes, exactly. we make the equivalent of an adult male in supersata sausage. It's true. I'm not kidding. And we hang it all in a little shed that my uncle has.
Along with the other bodies.
Along with the other, yes. Well, we don't talk about them. It's the part of the family business, you know?
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah,
nobody can refuse homemade supersata and sausage. It's true.
Well, I can't refuse your supersata. It's actually very good.
Oh, thank you.
But I didn't know it was sausage weekend.
Yeah, it's sausage weekend. Yes. It's very...
Part one,
yeah. Like, you know, like all the major motion pictures, we're splitting up into two parts now.
Okay.
So part one just came out last week, and part two is coming out in the near future.
All right. Well, before we leave Sausage Land, I have to play at least one of my two songs. I'll play this one.
Oh, God.
Sausages!
Can you see my lovely
sausages?
Saw a lot of different types.
Little ones and longer ones. They look like little meaty bites.
Sausages!
I would like to eat my
sausages!
Sadly, we're raw.
Sausages!
Please keep your distance from the
sausages!
We'll show you the door.
Sausages!
Sure, yeah. If you've never listened to the podcast, yes, I have a sausage song as well.
Let me tell you, if you've never listened to the podcast, this is your first episode.
We hit the ground running.
Is this podcast about sausages?
Or noodles?
Or noodles? Or what's happening? So, yeah, it's one of the four main topics we cover: sports, entertainment, odd news, and sausages.
Sausage. Yeah, whoops.
anyway. Rich, what have you been up to this weekend?
Oh, my God.
That doesn't involve sausage.
I don't know. You know what? I feel like my life is meaningless now compared to sausage
you've
weekend.
You've heard about sausage weekend. Yeah. You're like, everything you've done.
You know, everything I've done this weekend is just out the window. I can't compete with sausage weekend. That's amazing. I'm just done.
Well, I know something you did do. You did play Arkham Knight, didn't you? You managed to finish that one.
Yes, I did.
I finished it. I mean, I've spoken very highly of it in the past. How did you like it, though?
I loved it. I'm a huge Batman fan, and I think all of the Arkham City, the Arkham series, Rocksteady has knocked out of the park.
They're a fantastic.
They're
developer.
Fantastic, fun to play, true to the Batman story. I'm glad I finally caught up on it. And I took the time to play everything. Because, like,
one of the worst
things you can do is for a game that has so many elements, a video game that has so many elements in it, is you get it, like, day one off of the shelf.
Right.
And then you rush to only play, like, the main story. And then you're done. And then you're like, oh. And then, like, you can't get back into it.
Yeah, you always say to yourself, like, I did that same thing with Assassin's Creed Syndicate. So, like, I got to a point where I didn't want to play any more of the side missions. I said, I'll go back to them. I just want to finish the main story. But it's tough to get back into the side missions once you've done the main story.
Yeah, once the main story's done, it's almost like you don't want to go back and finish it.
Yeah, so you took the time, though, and you really, you know, enjoyed yourself with it and got to experience everything the game has to offer.
Yeah.
That's really good.
It definitely offers a lot.
I love the mission variety. Stay away from spoilers. Well, it's been like six months. Go ahead. Spoiler ho.
It's not too big of a spoiler, but I love the Joker's role in this video game.
Yes. Yes.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Not spoilers too much.
No. Leave it vague like that. Well, any Batman thing, you know the Joker's involved somehow.
It should be.
Should be, yeah. So, yeah, his involvement was very uniquely done.
Yeah, and I loved it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely, if you've never played any of the Arkham games, what are you doing? Get on that and love Batman. Why not?
I'm Batman.
There you go.
And love Batman.
That's an order. That's an order.
That's
love
an order.
Batman.
You must love him.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Pour your heart out to that Batman, to that Caped Crusader. Do it now.
I'm Batman.
Yes.
So there you go. Rich's proclamation for 2016. Love Batman.
Love Batman. Rich Liebig 2016. My official presidential slogan. Peace and love Batman.
Peace and love Batman. Not just love, but love Batman.
Yes, you must love Batman.
Okay.
So there you go. A little bit of what we've been up to in our personal lives since we last did the show. But now let's get to the news at hand. We've got some topics to go over, and our first batch are the ones that are about sports. So we call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yep, sports coming at you in your face. We got, let's go right off the bat. The NFL playoffs happened over the weekend.
Yes, they did.
Four teams eliminated. All were the number three and number four seeds. All division winners head home, that played last weekend. All the wild card teams made it.
They were some really good wild card teams though this year.
Yeah.
That was one of the big takeaways, for me in watching the playoffs is that these wild card teams were just fantastic. You know, like the Chiefs were coming in so hot. They just destroyed.
11-game winning streak right now for the Chiefs.
Yeah, and they just destroyed that limping Texans team.
Yeah, arguably the worst performance by a quarterback in postseason history. Brian Hoyer had four interceptions and a fumble.
Oh, it was pathetic. They didn't even deserve to be there, really.
Well, the Colts should have won that division, and the Texans sneaked in.
Yeah. That's just such a bad division.
Yeah.
Like, I think... It's tough to make this case, but I think even the NFC East is a little bit better than the AFC South.
Just by a slim margin.
I know it's tough to accept that fact, but I mean, come on. The teams in the NFC East look better than some of those teams.
Though I think Jacksonville is on the upswing. I think Jacksonville...
They could be. They have some really good pieces. Both of their receivers are really good.
Yeah.
Like, surprisingly good.
So, I'm hoping for brighter things in their future coming up.
Yes.
Let's get to the most obvious thing from the whole weekend.
Okay.
The blown field goal. Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Blair, this should have been an easy chip shot field goal. It was shorter than a point after touchdown kick.
Yeah.
And the laces were out and he blows it wide left if you're looking kicker perspective. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a heartbreaker.
Where do you begin from there?
Well, cutting the kicker for one. No, I'm kidding. You don't cut your kicker. It's tough. Kicking is, I don't know. I'm not an NFL kicker, but I imagine that it's one of the most nerve-wracking moments in a football game.
Yeah.
Because where everything else in a football game is, you're running around on a field with 21 other people, and you're not the center of attention. Unless you're the quarterback, you're not the center of attention. When you're kicking a field goal, it's all eyes on one guy. The entire defense is coming for you. The entire offense is blocking and working for you. It's like the one aspect of football where it's a completely singular, almost isolated type position. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, because nobody will know on that team what he was thinking of or what he was feeling heading into that kick.
Right. And it's all on him. Like, other plays, it's like the running back and the wide receivers and the offensive line. Everybody has to work together. But on that one, it's just the kicker.
Yeah. And, the worst part is up until that kick, he had a pretty good season and a pretty good game. He was 3-for-3 already going into that kick.
Yeah, 3-for-3. Yeah. And he just had to make that one last chip
shot. One last chip shot
screwed him up. You know what's interesting, though? They had pointed out earlier in the game that the holder kept on putting it laces
out. Yeah, laces out.
They kept on pointing that out throughout the game.
Ace Ventura here.
So I want to know, do you think that the laces being out really has that much to do with it? Or do you think it's a psychological thing? Because he really shanked that.
Yeah, he did.
That, to me, does not seem like a laces out problem.
I think the laces out may have an effect to some degree. Maybe
he was like 10 yards to the left, though.
Yeah, this kick was way left. It almost didn't hit the net.
Yeah,
it was very close to missing
the net.
Going
to the stands.
Yeah. So for something like that seemed like it was just nerves.
Yeah,
to me.
And that's a shame. That's really a shame because the Vikings had such a good year.
They had a good year, and they were about to knock out the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah. I think the Seahawks should have played better, though.
Yeah, they did not play well that game.
They did not, no. Russell Wilson, I thought, I expected more from him. I expected more from that whole team, but they just, it was very, very close. That was a sort of boring game because it was so defensive-oriented, but exciting there at the end.
Yeah. Let's go to another game off the top of my head. I want to do the Steelers versus Bengals.
Okay.
Cincinnati, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. If there was any, If there was any shot of the Bengals winning their first postseason game in 22 years, this was it.
Yep.
And they didn't do it.
And you know what's funny is I'm thinking back to the last playoff game that I remember them in with Carson Palmer. He goes down with an injury, right? And I think they lost.
The last one you watched?
Because
they had Andy Dalton in before.
Well, yeah. I mean, way back when, though, in the early 2000s. Not the most previous one, but I'm thinking, like, I'm trying to draw a parallel.
10 years ago, 05?
Yeah, I'm trying to draw a parallel between Carson Palmer.
Because that was the year the Steelers, same thing. Yeah. They were the third seed. Steelers were the sixth seed. They beat them, and that year they won the Super Bowl.
Yes, they did, against the Seattle Seahawks. Right?
Was that? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was. That was the Steelers and Seahawks, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, or was it Cardinals? Wasn't it Cardinals?
No, Cardinals was in 08.
08, I'm getting the years mixed up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Cardinals, because the Cardinals have Kurt Warner.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was when, what's that crappy little wide receiver that went on to do nothing? Santonio Holmes?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
He had that tiptoe. He had that tiptoe catch and he never did anything ever
again. Right, he went to the Jets and that was the
end. And then he just, well, I mean, he did, yeah, the Jets. It's one of those franchises where careers.
Go to sleep.
But anyway, back to the Steelers Bengals. Yeah, so no, I'm just saying, you know, they've had the same situation happen before where they're playing the Steelers, they lose their quarterback, and then they end up losing in a heartbreaking manner, you know? I feel like if they had Andy Dalton, they maybe probably could have won that game.
Now, how about the last drive where the Bengals essentially gave up 30 yards
with penalties?
Right.
You know, I'm always of the opinion that your team shouldn't be in a position where one call makes or breaks the game.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're a playoff team and you're complaining that, oh, you know, this one call cost us the game, well, you know, maybe play better to the point where that one call doesn't decide everything.
Yeah. And that also goes back to the missed field goal kick.
Yeah.
The one play should not have the outcome of the entire game. Your team should have played better to have gotten further ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I know these are going to be tight games and maybe it will come down to a call or two, but, you know, don't complain about it when it does, because that's the way it breaks.
Yeah.
You know, I always say it always bounces out in the end. You know, whether it's a missed call or, you know, a call that was made that maybe shouldn't have been made, it all equals out in the end, you know? So I feel it's like, it's ridiculous to blame something all on one call, you know, or a series of calls. That's just my opinion.
Well, unfortunately for the Bengals, that is their seventh playoff loss under Marvin Lewis.
Does he get fired?
No, I don't think you can fire him right now. But
he's,
I'll tell you
he's
what,
been a
he's
very
in the
good
hot
coach
seat.
For them. Yeah, but he's been a very good coach for
he
them.
He has been.
I feel like his playoff losses have come because of circumstances beyond his control.
Okay.
You know, like Carson Palmer going down, and then this year Andy Dalton going down. What was it the other year with Andy Dalton?
Well, the thing with Andy Dalton was he went down on a tackle he made on an interception return. You should be telling your quarterback, don't.
Well, maybe he did. I mean, here's the thing. People think that just because a coach says something means the player automatically does it. People think that players are robots. You know, like, oh, if we just tell them to do this. No, I mean, how many times have you met a person where you say, do this, and they end up doing the exact opposite? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like maybe, you know, because I have to assume they tell the quarterbacks not to tackle people.
Yeah, you know.
I can't imagine a coach saying.
This is why.
Yeah.
This is why. The Bengals were riding, what, 12-2, I think, at the time?
Yeah, yeah. They were
around,
pretty.
Or 12-1 or so, something
they only,
really
Yeah, they
pretty.
Only had, like, one or two losses.
They were fighting for the number one seed. And Dalton goes down on a stupid injury. They fall back to the third seed, and bam, one and done in the playoffs.
You do not want to catch that sixth seed in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That team is always very dangerous.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, more dark clouds hang over the Bengals organization because they just can't seem to win a playoff game.
No, they can't. I think they will, though, in the next few years.
I hope so. This is the seventh time they made the play. I mean, I'm sorry. It's getting to the point where it's, is this even going to happen?
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll see.
This was their best shot. 12-4, home game.
Against a weak division
against a
opponent.
Week, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Steelers, you know, D'Angelo Williams wasn't playing. It was right there for the taking. you know.
Roethlisberger wasn't playing the second half.
Yeah, he was banged up. I mean, come on.
This should have been a win for the Bengals, and they gave this one up.
Yeah, they did. It's a heartbreaker, but they did.
All right, let's move away from the heartbreakers, and we'll quickly cover the dominations. Chiefs dominating the Texans. We went over that.
I'm happy for Andy Reid.
A shutout win.
I'm really happy for Andy Reid and Jeremy Maclin. And Alex Smith, too. He deserves some credit here.
Boy, the 49ers look stupid right now.
Yeah. Well, I thought if he could get some time in the same system, you know, and get some experience with him, he could be a decent quarterback. He's not going to be Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. You don't need to be Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. You just need to be able to manage the game.
Not in that system that Andy Reid has set up. Just don't make any mistakes.
Right. Just don't make mistakes, and the rest of the team will do the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just dominated the Texans.
Yeah.
But now this last game, Packers at Redskins. This was a tough one because the Redskins were hanging in there for a while, and then the Packers just pulled away 35-18.
I'll tell you what, any time your team is looking a little shaky or maybe needs a confidence boost, face an NFC East team. We'll help you.
Yeah.
We will help you out.
Don't worry, we got your back.
Yeah, the Packers,
we got your back.
The Packers look back on top against the Redskins, which, oh my God, they finally came back down to earth.
Yeah, it was tough though. It was 18-17 in the third quarter. They almost had that one.
Yeah, until actual gameplay happened.
Aaron Rodgers becomes Aaron Rodgers.
Right. The Redskins, for the record this season, all of their wins did not come against an above 500 team.
Well, there you go.
So I think we know why the Redskins were the NFC's champions this year.
To be fair, though, I don't think the Packers are going to go much further.
No.
Because
they're
sloppy.
All right, well, we're going to get into that. That'll be the Fantastic Four picks coming up in just a minute. But before we head into those Fantastic Four picks, there's something else I want to pick on about that game, the Packers and the Redskins game, and actually has nothing to do with either of those teams. It has to do with Skip Bayless, and I think it's fitting to do a quick, short segment, What's Pissing Me Off? It's Alabama left and Alabama right, come on, you let me get your right stuff right. Get off stage, goddamn goof, you know. Piss me off, f***ing jerk, get on my nerves. Yeah, we haven't done one of these in a while.
I'm playing my guitar over here, don't mind me.
No problem. Something that's pissing us off.
I really love this segment just for the theme music.
Yeah, that's the only reason we do
this. I love it. It's so much fun. You piss me off.
Yep. But I got to go over this. This really did piss me off.
It pissed you off so much you actually texted me about it.
Yeah.
You were so infuriated, so enraged by this topic.
All right. First off, let's preface this. We're both Eagles fans here.
Of course.
If the Eagles were in the playoffs, we would...
It would just be screaming.
Right.
The Sports Handler would just be screaming and nothing else.
Yeah. But let's go over this. Skip Bayless, ESPN commentator,
right,
gets paid to be an objective analyst for the NFL. He has...
He's supposed to bring his knowledge and his repertoire of the game to the analysis of it, you know, give an objective, unbiased perspective as to how the teams are doing.
Yeah. And he has a show with, Stephen A. Smith or something, the First Take or whatever, First and Ten or whatever.
Yeah.
The first
Why not?
Piece of crap in the morning. I don't know, whatever the hell that show is.
If you want to ruin your morning,
yeah,
watch Skip Bayless.
And, yeah. So, Skip Bayless, during the Packers and Redskins game, goes on Twitter and decides to live tweet it. That's okay. You know,
right.
You want to do it, go ahead. You know, it's fun. Give your own commentary. And during the middle of the Redskins-Packers game, when the Redskins start to go down and start to fall behind in that fourth quarter, he starts tweeting about the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, sure. Because the Dallas Cowboys were secretly disguised as the Redskins, and they were playing in their place, right?
Apparently.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that clears everything up.
His first post was, quote, heck, my 4-12 Dallas Cowboys would be able to beat the Redskins in their stadium or the Packers.
What?
Okay, yeah, okay. First off,
he knows that they didn't make the playoffs, right?
I don't think he does. I think he thinks he still has a right to comment on the Dallas Cowboys. Whatever.
What universe does he live in again?
Cowboys universe.
I mean, he is aware that the Cowboys lost most recently to the Redskins, right?
Yeah, that's right. The last game of the season, yeah.
I mean, and lost by 11 points. I'm looking at it right now. I looked it up. 11 points.
So
but they can beat them a week later, apparently.
So this would be the equivalent of, like, of me and Mike taking over ESPN's Twitter account, and us just talking about the Eagles during this game.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, the Eagles would have done well against the Packers. You know what? No. It's Packers versus Redskins.
Yeah, talk about the game
about the game that's being played on the television set right now, not your stupid Cowboys.
We talked about all four of the playoff games. We didn't mention the Eagles at all, did we?
No, except, last week we covered them closing out the season as its own separate
topic. Right,
no,
but I mean this week.
But as for the Fantastic Four picks, we didn't do that.
No, I mean this week we discussed four playoff games and didn't mention the Eagles once except for right now as an example.
Right, exactly.
That's how you should do it.
Right. And then, of course, people responded, you know, why are you talking about the Cowboys, da-da-da-da-da.
Right, of course.
And Skip Bayless responds, quote, I'm telling you, if Romo and Dez had stayed healthy, the Packers would be losing this game at Jerry World. Revenge would be so sweet. What?
Okay.
Shut up! This isn't the Cowboys versus the Packers. No matter how much you want it to be, the Packers were 4-12, last in the division.
I mean,
they were dead last. They sucked this year. Go home. Go cry to Jerry Jones in his billion-dollar stadium and watch the game on the stupid freaking 50-foot billboard TV that they have, whatever the hell they call it, monstrosity of a television set on the middle of the field. I hate that.
Breathe, Rich. I know. Breathe. Breathe.
It pisses me off.
That's why it's called What's Pissing You Off,
yeah,
the segment.
All right. The thing that pisses me off.
It does.
And you know what? You have every right to be pissed off. Skip Bayless is a jerk. He's so clearly biased. I mean, we can play the hypothetical game, too. Well, if the Eagles had Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy, the Eagles would be 12-4. And we'd, you know, I mean, if the Eagles had Tom Brady, I mean, like, you know.
If, you know what? Skip Bayless would be the first person to say, oh, if the Eagles had Tim Tebow. And shut up. Shut up. Tim Tebow isn't playing. The Cowboys aren't playing. You're not playing.
You know what?
Stop.
That's what annoys me the most about the Cowboys and Cowboys fans. This is what's pissing me off. So they always feel the need to validate themselves. It's like, oh, they puff out their chest. Well, if only we did this, we'd be the best team. But you're not.
Yeah, you're not.
But you're not.
You're not even in the playoffs.
4-12.
Go home.
Go home.
Yes.
Okay, and you just, the team you're talking about that they would have been able to beat, you lost to both those teams in the regular season.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you lost to the Packers last year in the playoffs.
Yeah. So it's, I don't understand the argument. You know, and it's always, I always see this with Dallas fans. Every time the Eagles do something well, Dallas fans always got to pipe up and always, you know, just throw that little dig in there. It just annoys me. They always got to validate themselves. They're looking for validation. You know, it's just shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
So I couldn't believe that when I was checking my Twitter feed during the Redskins Packers game, and Skip Bayless is just littering the Twitter universe with Cowboys news.
He's barely tolerable when he's not talking about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So you know.
The worst part is ESPN retweets his stuff.
Oh God.
So it's like even when I'm like, so of course some people are going to say, well, Rich, why don't you just not follow him? I'm not following him. He comes up on the goddamn ESPN Twitter.
Yeah, it's ESPN. You can't, I mean, it's the biggest sports thing in the world.
Yeah, and I need to follow ESPN for the news and stuff. Anything
exactly.
That happens there. It's like, I can't win.
It's like, yeah, you're going to get Skip Bayless no matter what you do.
Yeah.
How did he become so popular?
I don't know.
Like, what, like who did he kill to get popular?
Yeah, Skip Bayless needs to just go to Jerry Jones's loving arms and just cry in his shoulder.
Why
doesn't he stay there?
Why doesn't he work the Dallas media circuit?
Yeah.
ESPN
has an outlet in Dallas. Yeah, go there.
Have
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear you.
Jerk offs. All right. That's enough.
I love it.
That's enough. Enough pissing me off.
You gotta watch that blood pressure, man.
I know.
You're turning red over there.
I'm gonna have a stroke over here in a minute. But before I have that stroke, we have to go over our predictions. And this is the last time that we have four of them because it's the divisional round of the playoffs. So let's launch right into it. It's time for our Fantastic Four picks. Cue the dramatic music. Yeah. Oh, as the playoffs progress, I'm getting like more dramatic. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, you're following the, this is who's line? Who wants to be a millionaire? Right?
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Oh, so we're at the second round of the playoffs now, the divisional round. Things are getting a little more intense, a little more heated.
Yep.
The first matchup we have Saturday, January 16th, 4:30. The Kansas City Chiefs travel to blustery, cold, wintry New England to face off against the Patriots. Rich, what's your final answer?
As much as the Chiefs look good in that win against the Texans, as much as they look good in that 11-game winning streak that they have, the bottom line is the Chiefs were facing the Texans. The Texans shouldn't have even been in this playoff hunt. Brian Hoyer, they were easily able to shake him up. They're not going to be able to shake up Tom Brady and the Patriots. I'm pretty confident that Bill Belichick is going to have a very good game plan going into this game. It's at New England. I don't see any way that the Chiefs knock off the Patriots. I'm going all Patriots in this one.
So the Patriots are known for one thing in our generation of football, and it's winning playoff games in New England.
Yeah.
That's probably the company motto at this point.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's what they do. They've been to 6 Super Bowls in 14 years.
That's something ridiculous.
Which
like
means
that
they've won a heck of a lot of divisional playoff games. This is going to the Patriots. Tom Brady, Gronkowski, you can't beat that duo.
Yeah.
No matter how good the defense is, especially not New England. They've had a week to prepare, a week to rest up. This is Patriots all the way.
All right, there you go.
So we flip over to the other conference now to check out the primetime game on Saturday. It's the Green Bay Packers traveling to Arizona to face off against the Cardinals. Rich, how do you feel about this one?
Well, I know the Packers got their groove back against the Redskins, but unfortunately they draw, I feel, the tougher matchup between Arizona and Carolina. Arizona is just more of a complete team. They can hit you with the passing game. They can hit you with the running game. Their defense is stellar.
Don't forget special teams too.
Yeah, their special teams is good. They have had a week to rest up. I'm going with the home team. Arizona should be able to I think they should easily win this over the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, Arizona's going to be sitting cozy at home. Meanwhile, the Packers went all the way to the East Coast. Now they got to go all the way to the West Coast. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough with a really rowdy Arizona crowd, excited for their team to be one of the favorites in the NFC. And like you said, the Cardinals are just so good on so many facets of the game. It's going to be really hard for the Packers to do anything against them. I know Aaron Rodgers had a great game against Washington, but
it was Washington.
Like you said with the Chiefs against the Texans, this was against Washington. They're not really known for their defense. The Cardinals are known for their defense. Aaron Rodgers is running out of targets, realistically. I'm going with the Cardinals here.
All right. Let's get to number 3.
All right. The third matchup, we have another bird team. The Seattle Seahawks are traveling to Carolina to face off against the top seed Carolina Panthers. Sunday, 1 o'clock game. Rich, how do you feel about this one?
All right. Out of all of the four divisional games that are going to be played this weekend, I think if there is going to be an upset, it's going to be this one.
Really?
Carolina, I think, is just livid over that Minnesota Vikings kicker because now they have to face Seattle. And Seattle, that defense is still top-notch. They're the number one run-stuffing defense in the league. The Legion of Boom is still strong. Really, the only problem Seattle has is the offense sputters out. But if they can just get something going against Carolina, they have a decent shot of knocking off the number one seed. Unfortunately, though, I think Carolina, with Cam Newton's MVP season riding strong, they're relatively still healthy. They didn't really suffer much injuries. I think Carolina still pulls it out in the end. But if there is an upset, I think it's this one.
All right. Oh, this is a really tough one, actually.
Yeah.
Because my gut says go with Carolina, but part of me also says they peaked too soon.
Oh, that could be interesting. Yeah.
The Seahawks.
They were 14-0.
14-0, and what are they now? 14-2?
15-1.
15-1.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen it so many times where a team comes in, you know, with the best record in the league, but they ended up peaking around like week 9 or 10. I think that might be the issue here. I think Carolina had a couple of shaky weeks down towards the end of it. I think the Seahawks are just riding high off this win. You know, they have something to prove that they're still able to be the Legion of Boom and to be that the big, tough defense. But then again, Carolina has been so good all this year.
So are you
I feel like I'm literally on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
That's the purpose of
like
this
talking through my options.
Yep. Is it A, Seattle Seahawks, or B, Carolina Panthers?
Oh, can I phone a friend? You know what? This is a really tough one, but I feel like the Seahawks have more experience here. I feel like they are a more battle-hardened team, and I think they're peaking at the right moment. I don't know if they get any further than this, but I think they might beat the Panthers.
So just because what's your final answer?
It's going to be Seahawks. Final
answer. Oh, there you go. Mike locking it in. He's predicting the upset.
I don't want to see 2-1-2 matchups in the conference round.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, last year it was like that. It was pretty stale.
And you know, it probably is going to be that this year again, but I'm hoping the Seahawks win.
Okay.
But speaking of 1-2 matchups, that brings us to our final game. The Pittsburgh Steelers are traveling to Denver to face off against the top-seeded Denver Broncos in the AFC.
Yeah, this one is also an interesting matchup, but the Steelers suffered a lot of injuries in that game against the Bengals. Roethlisberger is hurt, but more of a bigger news to me is Antonio Brown is in the concussion protocol.
That's the biggest loss.
I don't think he's coming back. If he's in the concussion protocol, it's going to take him a while to get back to full strength. And
players always miss at least 1 week.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be enough to knock the Steelers out here. I mean, if Antonio Brown comes back, then maybe they have a shot against that Denver defense, because then he can take the lid off of the Broncos' number one defense, but the way it's looking right now, they're not going to have Antonio Brown. I don't think they get it done. All Peyton Manning has to do is just not throw interceptions.
That's been really hard for him this year, though.
Yeah. Just don't do anything stupid, and the Broncos should be able to coast to a win here. I'm going with Denver.
Yeah. Peyton Manning's had some time to rest up. The Steelers, you know, you mentioned Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. They're also still missing Williams, I think.
D'Angelo Williams, yeah.
Not to mention they didn't have that week off to rest up, where the Denver Broncos have had that week to rest up. It's going to be really tough to go in, especially into a stadium like Denver's, you know. I think even though Peyton Manning is coming back, he's probably a little rusty, you got to go with Manning and the Broncos. I don't see the Steelers being able to pull this one off, not with everything going against them.
Yeah.
So Broncos, final answer.
Okay, there you go. There you go. And those are our last Fantastic Four picks specifically.
So it's next week, like the Terrific Two picks?
Yeah, conference championship
That's boring.
Picks.
We'll have to come up with a better alliteration.
Yeah, and more dramatic music.
Yes.
But there you go, folks, our Fantastic Four picks for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. I love the fact that we're getting
breathe now. That
in.
Music was like seriously stressful, Rich. Because usually we have this like upbeat, like American
Idol
music.
Whole season, yeah.
It's like, well, let me tell you about this matchup. This week I was like, oh, this matchup.
Wait until next week.
Yeah.
And we're launching some really dramatic music. You're not going
to
like it.
I'm already looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the music.
I am.
Not
I
actually
am.
The football games, but just
the football games, whatever. The music, that's the highlight for me.
Yeah, so I hope you guys are looking forward to that as well as all the football that's left to be played. But there you go. That's our sports segment for this week, but don't go anywhere, because coming up next we still have the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back.
Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
EA Sports has cut ties with the famed golfer for their upcoming golf video game, Tiger Woods PGA Tour. He is in the danger zone. Do you just want to leave it on, Rich?
Maybe. But yeah, you're right. Tiger Woods, unfortunately, he finds himself in the zone of danger.
The zone of danger. You're just having far too much fun.
Do you want me to go back into the danger zone? I will.
No.
All right.
Let's stay out of the danger zone. I want to be in the safe zone. No?
No.
Doesn't have the same ring?
No. That has no ring.
No ring?
That has no ring. Danger zone or nothing at all. How dare you, Mike? Yeah!
What about, like, the in between, like, the precarious zone? What about the slightly cautious zone?
No!
It's just the danger zone?
That's it!
Okay. Well, you know...
I'm sorry, I love Top Gun.
No, really? I couldn't tell. Just played Danger Zone 7 times.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But before we launch into the entertainment entree, we're taking some special time out of the podcast to go over a big loss in the rock community. David Bowie passed away at 69 due to cancer. Just a big blow to the rock world right
this
now.
This is a tough loss, this one.
Yeah.
You know, we just lost Lemmy a few weeks ago. Me personally, David Bowie was more interesting to me as a musician. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, let's both of those guys are amazing in their own right.
Incredibly influential.
And there must be a super group rock band being formed in heaven right now between those two losses here in the rock world. But it was just really heartbreaking to hear the news.
Yeah.
Boy, just on a Monday, it was just horrible.
I know, right? It's just, you don't want to hear that stuff at the start of the week.
Yeah. The stars definitely look very different now, but,
nice.
It's nice that he's able to be in peace after his battle with cancer. He had just produced a new album. I was hoping he was going to hang on for a little bit more. I was hoping maybe I'd get a chance to see him in concert.
Yeah.
But, just wasn't in the stars.
No, it wasn't. But you know, he did leave with one last parting gift. This is an interesting creative twist on this whole thing. David Bowie, you mentioned he just came out with an album recently. One of the songs off that album is called Lazarus. And oddly enough, a few days ago, he released a music video for it before his death, I mean. And the video itself and the lyrics are very intentional, his producer says. The lyrics read, "Look up here, I'm in heaven, I've got scars that can't be seen." And then he goes on to say, "This way or no way, you know I'll be free, just like that bluebird." And his producer said that... he always did what he wanted to do, and he wanted to do it his way, and he wanted to do it the best way. His death was no different from his life, a work of art. He made Black Star for us, his parting gift. I knew for a year this was the way it would be. I wasn't, however, prepared for it. He was an extraordinary man, full of love and life. He will always be with us. For now, it is appropriate to cry. That was from his producer's Facebook page, his producer, Tony Visconti.
Yeah. It's amazing how much of an effect he had. I mean, he wasn't only just a musician, he was an actor as well.
Yeah.
He was in a couple of great movies. He was in The Prestige in one of my favorite roles as
was
Tesla.
He in The Prestige?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He was Tesla, yeah.
Wow.
I loved him in that role.
Yeah. Of course, he was in Labyrinth as well.
Yes, of course. That's where he had the wacky hair and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just hearing that news just took all of the, just took the wind right out of me. I couldn't believe that he was gone. Here's something else too. I found a couple of fun facts.
Okay.
About David Bowie. Did you notice that David Bowie's left pupil is more dilated than his right?
Have you ever? I'm looking at a picture right now, and yes, it is.
Yeah. Did you ever notice that before then?
I did not. Why is that?
He was apparently punched in the face by his friend after they were fighting over a girl, and that left a permanent mark.
An extra dilated pupil.
Yeah.
That's a really strange side effect.
Yeah. There you go. You want to win a bar bet. There you go. I just got you a big fact.
That is, yeah, that's a random piece of trivia to hold on to right there.
Yeah, over a fight over a girl.
Wow. There you go.
But that's how cool David Bowie is, getting into fights over chicks before he even was famous. A true rebel, if you would. Something else that's interesting, his real name is David Robert Jones. He was going to change his name to David Jones, but he thought it sounded too similar to Davy Jones from the Monkees, and he ended up going with David Bowie instead.
Okay. So I don't know. Where did Bowie come from?
I don't know. It doesn't say in my list here.
That's interesting, though.
Here's something interesting. He could play the saxophone when he was 12 years old. Wow. I mean, this guy was a true musician, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And a musician and an artist as well.
Yeah.
Because you listen to the song Space Oddity, right? That's one of my all-time favorites, one of my favorite David Bowie songs. It's just, there's something extra to it, you know?
Yeah. And my favorite, this is my personal favorite fact here. Bowie turned down two British honors. He could have been made an honorary commander and knighthood, but he turned both of them down.
Why?
And according to a personal assistant, David Bowie said, quote, "I don't make art for the sake of being awarded."
Wow.
Just even when he was just not even trying to make a statement, he did.
Wow.
And that's, to me, the sign of a true badass and a true rebel.
Yeah.
And
true artist too.
True artist.
Art for the sake of art.
Yep. So it definitely sucks that he's no longer with us. But you know what? Crank up your radio at some point this week and tune in to some David Bowie. Dust off the old collection and play one of his songs this week. You got to. David Bowie passes away at 69 due to cancer. We'll miss you. One of the greats. One of the greats of the rock scene.
Definitely.
But now, with that over, let's launch right into this second part of the show. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
When you do a great deal of writing, there's a point where sometimes I think as a writing, how you doing, Rock? And you start to talk to him, like, what do you think about this? And he would go, I will tell you the truth, I would approach the world this. And before you know it, you go and you're having this. And even though the majority of it is silly, just that much comes out of it. You go, oh, thank you. Thank you so very much. And then you begin to build a scene. It's very odd what triggers a moment. It really is.
All right, and there
what
you go.
What was he talking about?
Mike's good friend, Sylvester Stallone, giving him some words of wisdom on how to write stuff.
What was that?
Commenting on how he was trying to write dialogue for Rocky Balboa and in the movie
very
Creed.
Eloquently. Now I can't talk either.
The power of Stallone.
You do a great deal of writing. There's a point where sometimes I think as a writing, you say, how you doing, Rocky? And you start to talk to him like, what do you think about this? And he would go, well, tell you the truth, I would approach the world this. And before you know it, you go and you're having this. And even though the majority of it is silly, just that much comes out of it. You go, oh, thank you. Thank you so very much. And then you begin to build a scene. It's very odd what triggers a moment. It really is.
So, I think Stallone might have also had a couple drinks.
Probably.
This was post Golden Globes. So
oh, yeah. He's probably got a few drinks in him.
Yeah, because he goes all over the place. He's saying that...
He doesn't finish one sentence.
No, he says he's... talks to Rocky Balboa.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know what's funny is that's true. They say that quote unquote characters speak to you. And I can attest to that. Characters do speak to you. I don't know if I would have.
Oh, so do you agree with your boy?
I actually do agree with him. Yes. Very much so.
Oh, that's so sweet. You guys found common ground.
We found common ground. Yeah. No, it's true. You know, this, I don't know if anybody that's listening does creative writing, fiction writing. But, you know, you start writing, and sometimes the characters develop a life of their own, and they take you down paths that you didn't expect. Like, it's hard to explain, but they'll take control of it, and you'll start writing them into the scene, and you don't expect them to do something, but you write down something that they would do that surprises you. And that's one of the fun things about writing fiction and you know, doing what these creative-type people do, is that they're always surprised by their own characters, because when you let them take on a life of their own, they, like this podcast, to, you know, wacky and wild paths.
Well, there you go. I think you might want to team up with Stallone, and you guys could brainstorm on ideas like this.
Hit me up, Stallone.
If you guys can understand each other.
When you do a great deal of writing, there's a point where sometimes, I think as a writing, you say, how you doing, Rocky? And you start to talk to him, like, what do you think about this? And he would go, well, tell you the truth, I would approach the world this. And before you know it, you go and you're having this. And even though the majority of it is silly, just that much comes out of it. You go, oh, thank you. Thank you so very much. And then you begin to build a scene. It's very odd what triggers a moment. It really is.
I feel like he could have explained himself better, but I agree with what he's saying. Isn't that strange?
Well, yeah, you know what? It's all about the message.
And, it is about the message.
You got it that time.
I got
time.
The message, yeah. I could understand a lot of what he was saying, oddly enough, yeah. Like actually understand the words that were coming out of his mouth. Because usually
you can. I thought you wouldn't be able to.
Usually, no, I did for the most part. There are a few moments where it's like, you know, where he's like slurring words together. So Rocky was like, what did you do? Yeah.
And like he like doesn't finish. Yeah, you're right. He doesn't finish any sentence. There's like two words missing at the end of the sentence.
Yeah, because he has so many thoughts going on in his head that it just rambles from one into the next. You know, sort of like what I did there. If you notice the beginning of that sentence, rewind 10 seconds, listen to that sentence, and you'll see that I cut myself short.
Here we are on the Crispy, and trying to do the and things.
Yeah. Sort of like that, I guess.
Yeah. Sure. I don't know.
You'll notice it happens naturally sometimes.
So wait, you actually understood that clip, but you didn't understand my other clip?
No, I didn't understand the Tennessee clip.
Oh, Mark.
I mean, you could be a heartbreak. You walk down the street breaking hearts the way you're looking. Very sharp.
Okay, listen to me. Down the street, almost sounds like Tennessee. Down the street, Tennessee. Down the street, Tennessee. You hear?
I still don't.
Down the street, Tennessee. It has a very similar rhythm to it. Down the street, Tennessee. You know, one of these days. One of these days you'll hear it.
One of these days it'll connect. But there you go. Mike's buddy, Sylvester Stallone, giving everyone some insight as to how he wrote how he wrote dialogue
for Creed. That, see, now, yep. What's funny is I think that makes perfect sense, what he said, because it's so true.
Wow.
It's so true.
You know what? It's universal. Rocky didn't need... Rocky.
Rocky.
Stallone.
Yes.
Stallone didn't need to actually formulate sentences. Mike just got it within the heart.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think I understood what you just said. Is it bad that we've passed the point where I'm understanding Sylvester Stallone more than Rich?
All right, speaking of Golden Globes, sound clip was after the Golden Globes.
After the Golden Globes.
After everyone had a few cocktails in them. So let's get before everyone was pissed drunk and go over the Golden Globes winners and losers. The big headline, The Revenant wins big. Leonardo DiCaprio wins for Best Actor in a Drama, Best Director, Best Drama overall for the Best Drama Movie overall. Oh,
yeah, Revenant had a very big showing,
adding fuel to the fire that you need to go see this movie.
Yeah, and also a lot of Oscars buzz as well. You know, it won 3 major awards at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, but what is that? It's a major award.
A major award?
Shucks, I wouldn't know, Dad. It looks like a lamp.
But it's a lamp, you nincompoop. But it's a major award. I won it.
Yep,
I won it.
It's a major award.
Yeah, it is a major award. They won, you know, a bunch of major awards. The most for any movie there with 3. Is also nominated for 4 total. But some of the other major awards that were handed out that evening were Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy, The Martian won, which I don't understand.
Yeah, that should not have been a comedy.
Did they do that on purpose?
I feel like they did.
So
I feel like they did because they wanted to give an award.
Right, you can put your name in for specific categories, right? We talked about this once. Where one show went in,
Detective? That was the Emmys.
That's the Emmys.
The Emmys you're allowed to submit like individually.
Right, because
the Golden Globes is through the Hollywood Foreign Press.
So Hollywood Foreign Press nominated.
They make the designations.
So you think that they put The Martian in musical or comedy to get it an award?
Yes, I think they did it purposely because
why not Spotlight?
Because I think they did it because the drama category was so filled.
But why move The Martian out of all the movies? Because Carol got a lot of great press. It's been flying under the radar, but if you read the reviews, it got a lot of great reviews. Spotlight as well is really killing it in the review department. So why move The Martian? Is that the only one that's borderline enough?
Yeah, right.
Spotlight in musical or comedy?
Yeah, well, Spotlight was about the church abuse scandal. There's no way you're going to make that a comedy.
Well, it could be a musical.
No, it's not going to be a musical.
So, because, I mean, I don't know. Is The Martian funny?
There is humor in it. But
it's really, make it a comedy.
Yeah, but it's really more... believe me, I'm on the side. I'm on your side, Mike. Yeah. This should not have been made a comedy. But I think out of the 3 movies that you listed... The Martian, I feel like, was the one they felt like they could get away with the argument because did
they not like the other musicals or comedies? Because like Spy, the Melissa McCarthy one, Trainwreck, it's like
yeah, that didn't get critically hailed.
Yeah,
I feel like The Martian, I felt like they could get away with shifting that over into the comedy department because the main character uses a lot of
comedy
to get through the situation he's in, but it's still a drama.
Yeah.
He's still lost on Mars.
Exactly.
That's not really a comedy.
It's not a lighthearted comedy or musical.
By that tone, Interstellar should be a comedy because Matthew McConaughey
cracks a joke
when he's on the spaceship going to the black hole.
Like, Inception was a roaring laugh.
Inception is...
There was one scene where somebody gave somebody a sly smile. It was uproariously funny. Make it a comedy.
Tom Hardy all of a sudden pulls out a grenade launcher just because he can.
That's comedy brilliance, yeah.
Right?
Why wasn't The Hateful Eight a comedy? That was funny.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it was funny, wasn't it?
There were funny scenes in it. That should have been a comedy.
I feel like just because something has a funny scene, The Godfather had funny scenes in it. Had a few laughs in it, didn't it? That's not a comedy.
I really think they just wanted to give another one of the quote-unquote
big awards
to one of those movies.
And it was the only one that they could realistically move over
right.
without them looking insane.
Right.
Like, if they had moved Mad Max or Spotlight or Carol, people would be like, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah. So, moving on, we already talked about Leonardo DiCaprio winning his big acting award on the other side.
Hold on. It's not the big one.
It's one of the big ones. He's getting. You're not a big Golden Globes fan? It's a good indicator for what's to come in the Oscars, though.
The Golden Globes is a great example of something that seems like a great idea on paper, but it's horrible in execution.
Why?
Because it's only voted on.
Why do you hate it?
I don't hate it. I just feel like it could be vastly improved.
Such as?
The Hollywood Foreign Press needs to let more people vote. It's only like 90 people that vote on who 90's, wins these.
90's not enough.
Yeah, it's only.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's only a small group of people that determine who wins these things and who makes up the ridiculous categories.
Yeah,
like,
the categories
like that's,
aren't
that's
insane.
A great example. It's a great idea on paper to separate the films by drama and comedy, because that's something the Oscars don't do,
but
which
why is
a pain
it,
in the ass.
But why is it drama and comedy? Because there are other genres of film in there, too.
Well, I think that's it's supposed to be one of the two main ways to break down a film, but
so a movie is either serious or comedic.
But now apparently the line's getting blurred between that, because these Hollywood Foreign Press people can't distinguish the difference. But anyway,
I like the fact that it covers movies and TV.
Yeah, that also does.
That's
that.
One of the things I like about it.
But to go back to my point, it's one of those examples of something that sounds like a good idea on paper, but horrible in execution.
Right.
It's smart to break up the movies into drama and comedy, because it's really insane to try and compare a comedic movie to a dramatic movie.
That's fair, we see that in the Oscars.
But it's horrible execution by the Hollywood Foreign Press. Because they blur the lines and they don't stick to their own guidelines as to what's a drama and what's a comedy.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you're going to create those guidelines, then you got to let it stand with what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and I know the comedy, I know the comedy offerings were not that good this year, but that's the way it is.
But Trainwreck should have just dominated.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever one that should have dominated should have just dominated.
I think it was probably
dominated.
Trainwreck.
I thought it would be Trainwreck.
I mean, yeah. I don't know the other ones. I don't know. I haven't really followed many of them. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, don't stick The Martian in there just to win an award.
Right. So that's why I say the Golden Globes is like the United States Championship in WWE. It's like, it's all right. You know, it's cool to win it. It's great. It goes on your resume. But don't get carried away. It doesn't mean you won the Oscar. You didn't win the WWE Championship.
It's still like the second biggest award you can win for movies.
Yeah. Right.
You know? So it's still important.
It's nice.
Like Ricky Gervais said, though, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
None of this matters. Nobody cares.
It's so not as clear cut as the Oscars.
Yeah.
That even the Hollywood Foreign Press realizes they need to make fun of themselves.
Well, you know,
in order to make this somewhat cool.
Here's the thing, though, is that all the biggest arguments come out of the Oscars, though.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the Oscars.
It's like everybody's like, oh, the Oscars are the gold standard. But it causes so many just an example, Shakespeare in Love winning over Saving Private Ryan. Are you kidding me? In what universe? I see, that's where you need a division between drama and comedy.
Right.
Because Shakespeare in Love is not a better movie than Saving Private Ryan. It's just not.
Yep.
There's no way.
Now, see, that would be an example where that would come into play.
Oh, but they'd probably put Saving Private Ryan as a comedy. Because they had that one joke that one time about the word foobar. You know, but whatever. Enough harping on the genre breakdown. Let's get to some of the other major categories. Best performance in a motion picture, in a drama for an actress, Brie Larson wins for Room. I'm not familiar with that one. That's one of the major categories. Best performance in a motion picture, musical or comedy, Matt Damon for The Martian. There you go. Again, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand either.
But Jennifer Lawrence won for Joy. So you have that one there. Sylvester Stallone won for supporting actor in a drama.
Yeah, standing ovation.
There you go. Yeah. Well, he deserved it.
Yeah.
He deserved it. And supporting actress Kate Winslet for her role as Joanna Hoffman in
Kate
Steve
Winslet.
Jobs. Kate Winslet, yeah.
Yes. Oh.
She,
Yeah. I love you, Kate Winslet.
Are you having a moment there?
Oh, man. She's just so beautiful.
She is. And she's 40 and she's still really good looking. I'm browsing her Wikipedia page now.
I would like to take you out to dinner.
What'd you say?
I'll take you out to dinner.
Are you like propositioning Kate Winslet?
That's all I can do.
She probably has really expensive tastes, Rich.
That's all I'm going to be able to do. She's married. I can't do anything.
Is she married?
Yeah.
To who?
Ned Rock and Roll.
What?
Check out the Wikipedia page.
Ned Rock and Roll. Who the heck is this? What is this? No, that's fake.
No, it's not.
That's fake.
No.
It's fake.
See, I would have won that question.
Ned Rock and Roll?
Bruno, our associate producer, looks at me like I have three heads and I knew the answer to that question right off the top of my head.
I know. How did you know that? Who is... There's like legitimately, I looked up Ned Rock and Roll and there is... the first thing that pops up on Google is who is Ned Rock and Roll?
That's how little he's known.
So you keep talking about the Golden Globes. I'm going to research Ned Rock and Roll. Who is this guy?
All right. Well, other news in the TV world was...
This is insane.
Thank you.
Sorry. Well, you're the one that started down this rabbit hole, Rich.
I did. But in the TV department, John Hamm won for Mad Men. That was great for me.
Yeah, your boy went in there, taking one away. Did he get an Emmy, though?
Yeah, he got an Emmy,
too. He got an Emmy, okay.
Yeah, which that was good. That made everything even, because at that point, he had not won an Emmy for being Don Draper, which that would have been a horrible injustice.
He's got to win at least one for that body of work. I mean, you know, maybe one season wasn't as good as the others, but when you take the body of work, and I think that's a lot of what the Emmys are, is you look at the body of work.
Yeah. Oscars are like that, too.
Yeah.
You always hear, oh, it's about time this person should win it.
And that's why everybody's saying Leonardo DiCaprio is going to win, because he's quote-unquote due, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. I hope he does. If he can't pull it off with The Revenant, I don't think he's ever going to win an Oscar.
I think he's got the best chance, though, because look at the competition he's going up against. I'm, like, looking at his competition from the Golden Globes. He was up against Bryan Cranston, who's amazing, but Trumbo didn't really do that well. Michael Fassbender and Steve Jobs, which did well critically but flopped commercially.
Yeah, it did.
You know, you have Eddie Redmayne and the Danish girl, never heard of it, and Will Smith in Concussion.
I'm worried.
People are saying Will Smith because apparently he did a really good job, but the movie Concussion didn't do so well.
I'm more worried about Eddie Redmayne in
He's
the
made
Danish
a
girl.
Very big name for himself.
Because another thing that you have to keep into account with the Oscars is politics. And I know, you know, that's kind of one of those subjects, you know, you have to walk on eggshells with, but, the transgender issue is huge right now. That could be something that the Academy looks favorably on.
Is that what it's about? I didn't know that.
The Danish Girl is about a transgender story.
Ooh,
right.
He's going to draw a lot of attention for that.
Right. He could get a lot of votes swinging his way.
And he won recently last year, too.
Yeah, he won last year. He took it right from Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Birdman.
Could he repeat? I don't know. Has there ever been a repeat?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tom Hanks won back-to-back year.
That's right.
He won for Philadelphia and Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Back-to-back.
So there is precedent for it.
Yeah, it can happen.
Oh, that would be such a... Oh. I mean,
and he shuts out Michael Keaton and then Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yikes. And he instantly becomes one of the highest sought after actors in all of the film industry. if he manages to pull that off, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're jumping ahead to the Oscars. We're talking about the Golden Globes here.
See, this is why it's second rain. I'm sorry.
All right. You're like, come on, let's get to the main portion here. Gotta get to the Oscars. What else won? Mr. Robot won for Best Series Drama.
This is something I need to hook into. I've never heard of this series.
I have.
But, yeah, Christian Slater won for this TV show, which I love Christian Slater. Oh, my God. I gotta check this out.
When it first came out, I watched the first episode or two. And I will say it was very interesting. It's very... very modern, because it talks about like the hacking community and all the stuff that's going on in that world. So it's very modern. It's very hip. It's got a very interesting protagonist that's unlike typical drama protagonists. You know, he's not like some moody or angsty, you know, mid-40s white male character. He's this sort of like scrawny – I think he has some type of social disorder, something, scrawny, white, skinny dude – So it's unlike anything we've really seen. Very interesting show. I didn't stick with it because there's so much on TV. It's hard to keep up with everything. But I think it's deserving. I would have preferred Game of Thrones to win, but Game of Thrones' fifth season was just awful. I'll be the first one to tell you that. As a Game of Thrones fan, it was really bad, the fifth season.
Did it get nominated?
It did get nominated, okay. But it was really bad.
Okay.
I won't talk about that because that's a half-hour discussion for another time.
All right.
Other big winners in television, of course, Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Best performance in a miniseries or television film. Lady Gaga wins for American Horror Story Hotel. I think that's her first TV or film award.
Yeah, this is her first really foray into acting. So
do you think she's going to transition to films next?
Why not? Madonna did.
Yeah. Her first role, though, she wins a major award.
Yeah, that's a great start. Why not?
That is a great start.
Keep it going.
And she's another example of one of those, artistic type people that can just really do anything.
Following David Bowie's steps. Yeah,
there you
not?
Go. Yeah. Take it away, Lady Gaga. She's cool, too.
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah. So, like you mentioned, Christian Slater won for Mr. Robot. Yeah, Mr. Robot actually had tied Mozart in the Jungle for two wins as being
I've never heard of Mozart in the Jungle.
I don't even know what it's about. Couldn't even tell you.
It's so weird because, we follow entertainment pretty actively.
But you know what? We're in one of those strange – so not strange, but we are in one of the – it's like a renaissance for television. There's so much television out there. And then especially when you think about Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu, which all had shows nominated – there's just so much out there. How can you follow all of it?
Yeah, it's a lot.
I haven't watched half of these shows. I haven't seen Empire. I watched two episodes of Mr. Robot. I watched Game of Thrones. Haven't watched Narcos or Outlander. Never heard of Mozart in the Jungle or Casual. Still waiting to get into Orange is the New Black. Silicon Valley, I hear, is incredible. Haven't watched that. Only watched one episode of Transparent. Only watched one episode of Veep. There's just so much out there. How can you keep up with all of it?
It's too much.
It is. It's too much to handle. Just another few quick points. Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu, I think, won for Best Director for The Revenant. Going back to film. Aaron Sorkin won for Steve Jobs Best Screenplay. I heard that was a very Aaron Sorkin does a great job writing.
Newsroom. Wester Wang.
Fantastic dialogue, fantastic scenes, very fast-paced, very frenetic, very interesting. And going back to our previous conversations about James Bond music, Writings on the Wall won for Best Original Song, Inspector.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that it did.
Oh, it wasn't really going up again. I mean, a Fast and Furious song. I mean, come on. Yeah. It's I'm sure it's very good. I just doesn't interest me, It's just one of those things.
Wait. How about the 50 Shades of Grey song? That didn't interest you at all?
Love Me Like You Do?
Yeah.
I don't know.
50 Shades of Grey, that famous novel. My library doesn't carry it.
What's the matter, Mike? Your library doesn't carry it?
No, it doesn't. That's why I haven't heard it.
50 Shades of Grey, that famous novel. My library doesn't carry it.
That's the refrain in the song, right?
My library doesn't carry
it. My library doesn't. Yeah.
My library doesn't carry it.
Why does that does not fit the tone of 50 Shades of Grey at all. I've never read or seen it, but I just can't imagine it. My library doesn't carry it.
If you're coming into my dungeon and handcuffing it, my library doesn't carry it.
And you have the corny sound effects of whips and stuff.
50 Shades of Grey, that famous novel. My library doesn't carry it.
Oh, that's probably...
That would be nominated in the best musical category.
Yes. Musical or comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Could be funny.
There's an hilarious joke with... you don't want to...
Bondage.
There's a hilarious joke with a cucumber. Let's,
All right, then. Moving right along.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Yeah, that was a bad one. But to brighten things up and keep it sort of PG, Inside Out, my favorite movie of the year, won Best Animated Feature Film. I think very deserving of that. Fantastic film. If you haven't seen it yet, I won't talk at length about it because I've talked about it so much before. But if you haven't seen it, it's my top movie of 2015. Go check it out. One last point. Best original score, Ennio Morricone for The Hateful Eight.
That's nice.
That was a fantastic soundtrack.
Yeah.
It was
enough to make an overture and intermission out of it, and it was great.
Yeah, it was very foreboding and very tense. It fit the mood perfectly, very interesting. You know who else really loved that soundtrack, Rich?
The maker of that film.
Yes, Quentin Tarantino.
Yep.
Really loved that soundtrack. In fact, he loved it so much he felt compelled to say something at the Golden Globes. And we know that Quentin Tarantino is a very humble, very down-to-earth type guy, right?
Sure. No.
Oh, wait, that's not the definition of humble?
No, this isn't it. No.
Okay. So I'll let Quentin Tarantino speak for himself in all his ass-haddish glory. This is... I can't believe this. Quentin Tarantino accepting the award for Ennio Morricone at the 2016 Golden Globes.
Do you realize that Ennio Morricone, who, as far as I am concerned, is my favorite composer? And when I say favorite composer, I don't mean movie composer. That ghetto. I'm talking about Mozart. I'm talking about Beethoven. I'm talking about Schubert. That's who I'm talking about. And Ennio Morricone has never won an award for any one individual movie that he's done. But he has in Italy, but not in America. And this is, I know, not America. It's the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. But... I have to say, please wrap it up, I will. I have to say that I directed the movie that the great Ennio Morricone at 87 years of age did an original score for and won the Golden Globe. For Ennio and his wife, I say thank you and grazie. Grazie!
What the hell is he on?
I don't know. It's a drug called Ego.
Yeah.
And what was up with that Italian? Grazie. What is grazie? Grazie.
It sounds like
grazie. Grazie.
Sounds like he's ordering like a grate or something. Grazie immediately.
Grazie. Grazie.
I need to get cheese on my plate.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
love how also it came back to. I directed the movie. Yeah. I made the film for Morricone. Like, what?
How? I know. How did he manage to reverse that back to him?
Because he's an asshat.
It's unbelievable. I can't believe he was able to redirect it. He's like, hey, you know, I just had to say, I directed the film. At that moment, I'm like, what?
Shut up.
He always finds a way to take credit. Well, he didn't win Best Original Screenplay, you know, so he had to find a way to get up there and... you know, run his mouth.
You know what's funny? Like,
Ennio Morricone.
Ennio Morricone. Yeah, he was probably there. He was just too tired to actually get up out of his seat.
Probably.
Quentin Tarantino just rushed the stage.
He probably jumped up and ran to the stage. So excited to be in the spotlight. I love Quentin Tarantino. He's a fantastic filmmaker. He's a horrible human being.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. everything has to come back to him. But there you go. Some of the highs and lows of the Golden Globes that happened over the weekend. It's a small taste to lead up to the Oscars, which we will look forward to, and whether or not and seeing whether or not Leonardo DiCaprio actually pulls it off and wins his first acting Oscar. I hope he does.
Here's hoping, yeah.
Because if he doesn't do it with this, I don't know what he will win it for. So there you go. The Golden Globes. All right. We've delayed this segment as far enough as we've done, I think, since we came up with this part of the show.
Yeah.
So without further ado, it's finally time. We need to launch into it before we forget. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Fifty Shades of Grey, that famous novel. My library doesn't carry it.
All right, Mike, what do you got for this week in entertainment? What should we keep an eye out for in movies, TV, video games, and the like?
Well, nothing as hot and heavy as 50 Shades of Grey. Something a little bit lighter in film this week. Ride Along 2 is coming out, starring Ice Cube and Kevin Hart. The sequel to the you know, funny first movie. I guess it was funny. I didn't see it. It's about police officer partners who will soon become brother-in-laws. And they have to go to Miami to investigate a drug ring. You know, it's classic buddy cop type film. So if that interests you, I know the previews have looked pretty funny. So maybe that's something lighthearted to go check out this week, opening up in theaters. That's Ride Along 2. But more importantly, this week is big for TV. A couple of really interesting TV shows are coming out. This is a station I've never talked about before. Teachers is coming out on TV Land. I know this, I've never mentioned this station before, but this one caught my attention.
They do new shows?
They do new shows. It's produced by Allison Brie from Community, of course, with the help of an online improv group. It's a scripted show that examines the raunchy secret lives of elementary school teachers. So, you know, I guess it's like 5 or 6 female elementary school teachers. They always put on, like, the nice appearances when they're in front of the students, but this takes a look into their sort of comedic sort of things you wouldn't expect elementary school teachers to talk about. Because teachers are real people too, Rich.
Yeah.
You know, there's this image that teachers are just like robots that just work in the school and just stay there, you know. They have real lives too, so it's sort of bringing a twist to that looks very interesting. If you're looking for something a little more serious, though, check out Colony on USA. It's a new sci-fi drama in which alien invaders occupy cities around the globe and wall them in to create these dystopian regimes and sort of control the people through political means and through human sympathizers. It's created by Carlton Cuse, who created Lost. So, you know, expect some plot twists and lots of turns and very mysterious sort of goings-ons. That's Colony on USA. And to wrap things up in TV, we have Angie Tribeca releasing or premiering on TBS. It's a police procedural spoof starring Rashida Jones as a veteran of the Really Heinous Crimes Unit, which is a hilarious name if you ask me. It's created by Steve and Nancy Carell. So it's got a lot of big name talent behind this one. It also is notable for its very strange premiere schedule. TBS is airing all 10 episodes of the first season back to back to back to back, ad free for 25 hours straight. So you can binge watch the entire first season in 1 day long marathon. And then a week later, they're premiering season 2.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know who came up with this release schedule, but it's very, very different. I've never seen anything like it. They're hoping to you know, catch the binge-watching audience and try and, you know, tap into that sort of mentality surrounding TV shows that has become so popular.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, I don't know. It looks very funny. Rashida Jones is very funny. But that schedule's just weird, if you ask me.
Yeah, like, that would benefit, like, a drama with a lot of cliffhangers.
Yeah, this is a comedy. Yeah, I don't know.
Comedy really doesn't lend itself to binge watching.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it turns out for TBS.
Yep.
I guess they're trying to get as much visibility as possible by airing it constantly.
Yeah,
you know, instead of tuning in, you know, you have to tune in at a specific time. People know that they can go to that station anytime in 25 hours and catch this show. So maybe it's just by sheer, you know, bombarding the audience with the show nonstop. But that's new shows coming out. Returning shows this week include Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO. I know you're a fan of that one, Rich.
Yeah, I like that show.
Yeah, that's coming back on HBO, so be sure to check that one out. And Hell's Kitchen on Fox. Still a fan of the cooking genre. So I'm looking forward to that one and all the craziness those chefs get up to. That wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, and thank you for letting us know what to keep an eye out for on this week in entertainment. I think this is the first time we've ended the entertainment entree with that segment.
I think so, yeah.
But, you know, we had a lot of news that we had to get to right off the top of the bat.
Golden Globes. You can't skip the Golden Globes.
That and David Bowie. We had to lead off with that.
Exactly.
So a lot to get to
yep.
in that entertainment entree. But hope you're not too full yet. I know the sports sampler and the entertainment entree was a lot to digest. But make sure you save some room because coming up next, I have the non-fortune cookie odd news, and I got a lot of interesting stories there. So don't go anywhere. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and we'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A 39-year-old Pennsylvania man phoned the Allentown Township Police to report that someone stole his Jell-O from the break room refrigerator at work!
What? We can't have this. Friends, there's a lot of things in this world that upset and anger all of us, but none of them are as vile as someone stealing another man's Jell-O.
If I can't have my Jell-O safe at work, where else do I go?
It was just the strawberry Jell-O. I didn't even get a chance to eat it. It was so young. I had only bought it that weekend. I loved it so much.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling.
This is an amazing song.
Yeah.
Clocks,
remix.
Right? Yeah.
A good way to put us in the view of everything going on. We're done the sports sampler. We're done the entertainment entree. I got pissed off for a little bit, too.
You did. You did get pissed off a little bit, just a little bit.
So we went through a wide range of emotions.
Yeah.
But we're coming back around full circle towards our third and final segment. And it's the craziest one. We all know all the wacky stuff that can happen in this one. Mike,
that's
you know you like introducing this segment.
It's one of my favorite segments here on the show. It's the wacky, the wild, the always funny non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada basata. I don't make this stuff up.
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Yeah, time for some odd news coming at you.
I just have to say, I love that intro. I know they say you're not supposed to laugh at your own material, but I laugh every single time that you play that. It cracks me up. But that's what the odd news is great for, is those weird, ridiculous moments that you really can't script, and you can't help but laugh at yourself and laugh at the people in these stories. For those of you that may be unfamiliar with the segment, Rich researches the news. He researches. I can't talk. He researches the news. He reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds these weird, wacky, odd news stories. Keeps them secret from me. I've never seen them before, so my reactions are my gut reactions, my natural reactions. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And they're just amazing. So let's dive right on into them.
All right. Let's dive right on into the odd news. And the first story, I guess you could say, is a spiritual sequel to something that we've had before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love sequels.
And you know what? I think I'm just going to let the sound clip put you back into that frame of mind at our previous story. let me just play the sound clip and all of our listeners and you will instantly get transported back to one of our favorite odd news stories.
First thing in the morning, what do I see? A pile of shit staring at me. I close my eyes, I step away. No matter where I go, there's no getting away.
Take the poo to the loo. Take the poo to the loo.
So, I remember that. I remember that very well because there's like maybe like a select number of odd news stories that have made me laugh so hard where I couldn't continue, and that was one of them. Wait, that's like a year and a half old though.
Yeah,
that's an old one.
Yeah,
but that was correct me if I'm wrong, but that was an official Indian government public service announcement.
Yeah,
about people using toilets.
Yep.
Instead of leaving their crap everywhere.
Yep,
that is what was officially released by the Indian government.
Right,
that's amazing.
Yep.
So this story is a spiritual successor.
It's a spiritual successor.
Okay.
We're going,
I can't wait.
We're going back to India.
Oh, and, good God.
And it's a story about some poo.
Okay.
A woman in India actually suffered a shoulder injury when she was struck by a falling ball of frozen matter believed to be human waste, frozen as it fell from an airplane toilet.
This is almost like a spiritual successor to the crap earthquake.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, it's like
I can't remember what we called that story. The fecal epicenter.
Yeah, it's the fecal epicenter meets
Poodaloo. Oh my gosh, two of my favorite poop stories. So no other podcast will you hear a sentence like that. Those are two of my favorite poop stories. Why do I have two favorite poop stories? Because we talk about it a lot here, people.
Witnesses said that 60-year-old Rajarni Garud was struck in the shoulder by a block of ice believed to contain human urine and feces dropped from an airplane that was flying over Amco village in Madhya Pradesh.
One of those words does not sound like the others. Amco? Is it like Amco, like double AMCO?
No, it's AAMKHOH. Amco.
It's basically Indian Amco.
Yeah, I think. I tell you. I'm going with that.
Amco. And what were the other ones? Because the one sounds logical. The other two are just incomprehensible.
Yes. Well, anyway, a government official says that, quote, I was only 25 feet away from the spot where the monster came crashing down.
The monster?
It's in the police report.
Oh, my gosh.
Where the monster came crashing down.
Okay.
Children and villagers.
How big was it?
Children and villagers witnessed the fall and heard screams. We all ran towards Rajarni and referred her to the hospital. Jane says that the woman narrowly avoided incurring more serious injuries. Luckily, the ice ball hit a roof first. Otherwise, it could have done so much damage as to smash her skull.
Wow.
The falling object was solidified in blue ice, which is part of a chemical that is used to dispose of the waste in the airplane lavatory. They said the liquid waste may have leaked from the plane and froze completely as it went on its way down to Earth and hitting this poor woman. Oh my God. This is the most unluckiest woman ever.
Actually, she's lucky because she could have, it said it could have crushed her skull.
Yeah, by poo.
crushed by poo.
First thing in the morning, what do I see? A pile of shit staring at me. I close my eyes, I step away. No matter where I go, there's no getting away.
Take the poo to the loo. Take the poo to the loo.
Why? I can't, I'm listening to the song, I'm being taken back. And the same questions emerge. Why is it so bad that you have to have a public service announcement about people pooping in the toilet?
I don't know, man. But now the skies aren't safe.
Now, the streets aren't safe. The skies aren't safe. Is there anywhere that's safe?
What the hell do you do in India now?
Apparently just crap wherever you want to.
Good luck.
Can you, if like you're in a restaurant, can you just like push the chair out a little bit, pull your pants down and just like go? Like, because that's the message it's sending to me. As a Westerner, I listen to that song and I'm thinking, if your government has to put out an official PSA about pooping in toilets, you have a major problem. I love how that's not even what the story's about. But you got me on the poo to the loo thing.
That was, I had to bring it up because it's poo in India.
It's poo in India. That will always be the association, right?
With Poodaloo, yeah.
Poodaloo. Oh, that's amazing.
All right, well, let's go away from poo then. Let's go away from that. And we're going to go to another weird land, Detroit. Do you like that transition?
Detroit is very weird, you're right.
A man in Detroit accidentally set himself and his Detroit apartment on fire because he wanted to kill his bed bugs. Yep.
And everything else in the apartment, apparently.
Yep. The unidentified 30-year-old tenant sprayed rubbing alcohol all over his couch, his living room, his kitchen, and then his own body in a bid to eliminate the pests. He sat down in the morning after all of the alcohol was done being sprayed around the room, and he lit a cigarette.
Oh, gosh.
The cigarette fell on the floor, and everything that was soaked in alcohol caught fire.
So, okay, here's a legitimate question. Did he intend to drop the cigarette, or did he just think that spraying the alcohol would kill the bugs, and that he dropped the cigarette by accident, maybe?
Maybe he thought the alcohol would kill the bugs?
Because I guess if he thought, like, rubbing alcohol is, like, so, like toxic to them, maybe, that it would kill them.
But why would you light a cigarette?
Because after all that hard work, he just wants a nice smoke, Rich, all right?
Smoke him if you got him.
Boom! I don't know. Don't you ruin your house, your apartment? What is this, a house, apartment? It doesn't matter. He sprayed rubbing alcohol all over it. How do you put it on his couch. How do you clean that up? I mean, you don't clean it up. Does it ruin it?
Well, we're never going to find out because the seat and his body all went up in flames. There was so much of the flame that it spread to the rest of the 8th floor apartment at the complex in Midtown Detroit. The man was able to escape the devastating blaze, but he suffered severe burns and he's now recovering.
You know what I just thought of? When you get an apartment in one of those big buildings, like, your life depends on the stupidity of your neighbors.
Yeah.
They should have, like, quizzes. Like, if I ever get an apartment in a big building with, like, lots of other apartments, I'm going to devise, like, a multiple choice quiz, like, with a Scantron and everything, and just be like, have different scenarios.
If you have bed bugs,
which option would you choose? A, call an exterminator. B, set your apartment on fire. C, you know, and I would grade them. I would see what grade everybody gets on the stupid scale. And then based on those scores, I would either stay there or leave. Because really, think about it. If you have a house.
And you got this guy in your floor.
Yeah, exactly. you're screwed. Here's the thing. If you have your own house that's not an apartment, anything that happens is your own dumb fault. But if you're in an apartment complex, your neighbors can kill you. There was that one story where the guy was storing all his feces.
Yeah.
And it destroyed the walls and the ceiling. This guy's lighting his apartment on fire. I mean, like, come on. How can you ever be safe in this world?
Unless you have your own house.
Unless you have your own house. That's a legitimate question. It's like, it's insane. It's insane. So because now I feel bad for the other people in the apartment because this idiot sprayed rubbing alcohol everywhere and burned his apartment down. Did it affect the other people?
Detroit firefighters helped evacuate the complex as smoke filled up the hallways. The blaze spread to 4 other homes before it was extinguished. Two dozen more apartments also suffered severe water damage. Residents said that the complex was infested with bed bugs and multiple complaints had been issued to the landlord about it. So unfortunately, since the landlord didn't take any action on it, this guy felt like he had to take charge.
When they say kill it with fire, it's just an expression on the internet.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean literally kill it with fire.
I also have an interesting side note at the end of this story.
Okay.
Terminix, the pest control company.
Right.
Also, and I guess this was the same week or last week, and the news story tied this two together. Terminix released the top five cities that have the worst bed bug infestations. Number one is actually Detroit.
Wow.
Number two is New York City.
Okay, the figures.
Number three,
Philly,
is Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
Number four, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
God damn it, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
You're not even that big of a city.
Cleveland, get out of here.
Get your shit together.
Go home. You're drunk. You're not allowed to say that, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And number five, L.A. You think L.A. would be like one of the top three.
Yeah, you figure the bigger the city. Like, four of those cities make sense. And then Cleveland.
Damn it!
They're not good at anything. They can't do sports. They have bed bugs everywhere. Stupid Cleveland.
Fun times in Cleveland again.
Still Cleveland.
Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone. Under construction since 1868. See our river that catches on fire. It's so polluted that all our fish have AIDS. We see the sun almost three times a year. This guy has at least two DUIs. The flats look like a Scooby-Doo ghost town. Don't slow down in East Cleveland or you'll die. Our economy's based on LeBron James. Buy a house for the price of a VCR. Our main export is crippling depression. We're so retarded that we think this is art. It could be worse though, at least we're not Detroit. We're not Detroit.
Yeah, it works.
I've never heard a more appropriate song.
That's great. Yeah, Cleveland. Oh yeah, you're not Detroit. You're not number one on the on the most infested.
At least we're not Detroit.
Yeah, Cleveland.
All right, Cleveland did one thing right, I guess. At least they're not Detroit. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Wow.
Good job.
Somebody should make a song about Detroit, and their main export is bedbugs. Cleveland's main export is crippling depression. Every time I hear that song, I just bust up at that line. It cracks me up every single time.
So there you go. Good job, Cleveland. You're not Detroit.
You're not Detroit.
You're only number four. Four. Congratulations.
It's funny, you know, there you'd think that they wouldn't be happy to be number four in something, but this case, they're very excited to be just number four.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right, this one's a quick story, but just hilarious to imagine. Candy is not so sweet for a Southern California man. A man was arrested Thursday after authorities said they found him in possession of stolen sweet candy.
Okay.
Yep.
Why did they specify stolen sweet candy?
I guess say stolen candy. Sour candy is the rage, you know? It's coming back.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
This guy is specific. Very sweet. He needs sweet candy.
Only sweet candy. So yeah. He would never steal, like, Sour Patch Kids.
No, he wanted sweet
just
candy.
Always chocolates and peanut butter stuff. Okay.
Something else interesting. His name is Jesus Ibarra.
Oh, God.
You said it, man. Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Why are all the criminals named Jesus?
They think they can get away with it?
I guess.
Nobody F's with them.
You said it, man. Nobody F's with the Jesus.
So, there you go.
Look, I'm sorry, but there's just way too many criminals in the Odd News named Jesus. You know, it's one of those weird coincidences. You know, like, Florida has all the weird news. If you're named Jesus, you're probably a criminal. And I apologize to anybody named Jesus listening to the podcast.
Well, anyway, Jesus Ibarra was freed on bail, but was not available for comment. The Riverside Press Enterprise says Mars Candy Company had sweets that hadn't passed inspection. They were supposed to be trucked to a location in San Bernardino County for destruction, but when the truck arrived, 7,500 pounds of candy were missing.
That's a lot of candy.
Yeah. The sheriff's department said investigators caught a break when ads started turning up online for discounted sweet candy. That led to Jesus Ibarra's home.
You said it, man. Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
I mean, isn't that super shady, though, buying discounted candy online from a dude named Jesus?
Well, authorities said that when they had arrived to his house, his garage had been turned into a fully functional candy store with 30 racks of box candy neatly labeled with prices, aisles, and a cash register.
Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy.
Yes, he actually set up his own little candy shop.
That's amazing.
In the garage.
That's amazing. I feel like he should be allowed to keep it. He's an entrepreneur. That's the American spirit right there. That's the American dream, is to be an entrepreneur, set up your own business. He should be allowed to keep it.
You're going to throw it out anyway.
Right, exactly.
It didn't pass inspection,
Jesus
whatever.
Jesus' discount candies.
Yeah, nothing shady about nothing this shady at there. All.
You said it, man. Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Jesus' discounted candy. Come on down to...
I took 5 Hershey bars and turned them into 17 Hershey bars. Da, 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 da. I don't know why the Price is Right music is playing in this version of the commercial. This is the first song that popped into my head. When I think Jesus and candy, I think the Price is Right, of course. Don't you, Rich?
Sure, why not? I'll run with it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just the first thing that popped into my head, you know?
Hey!
Hey!
We've
got all types of candies. We got brown candies. Dark brown, white brown candies.
We got sweet candy.
We got sweet candy, but no sour candy.
None of that sauerkraut.
Get out of here. I'm Jesus, your local candy store owner. Come on down. We've got sweeties for the kiddies. We've got licorice for the adults. And it's all at a low, low price. Come down to Jesus' Discount Candies, located at the corner of This Is Not a Scam Boulevard, and You're Taking Your Life Into Your Own Hands Street. Jesus' Discount Candies.
Yeah. Boy, man, it's going to be making the waves in California.
It already is, Rich. It's already a big hit. Big, big hit. They're talking about expanding nationally. Pretty soon we're going to see them.
We're not shady at all.
We're not shady at Jesus' Discount Candies. We're not shady at all. Come into my garage, children. You can trust the man named Jesus selling candy out of his garage. Oh, my God. It's only a matter of time before he upgrades to a more serious crime.
So, unfortunately for
how did he get that much candy, though? Has he been doing this for a while? Because you said, what'd you say, like 30 racks or something?
30 racks. He stole 7,500 pounds of candy from the truck.
Wow. That's awesome.
I mean, it says that they didn't pass inspection, so I guess they're going to be thrown out.
Yeah, and, you know, so they didn't pass inspection, so it's probably like something like quality control, like the chocolate wasn't evenly spread, or there were like no peanuts in this one, or whatever it is. Doesn't mean that they're all diseased and they're going to kill you. This is probably perfectly fine candy. They were going to be sent to like a dollar store somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, no, you said they were going to be terminated.
Oh, destruction.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, they're probably fine. Trust Jesus selling candy out of his garage. Not shady at all.
You said it, man. Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Yeah, but unfortunately, was freed on bail, so he's going to have some legal charges to deal with.
That's right. He'll just sell the candy.
Yeah, he'll pay
for it. Come on, Rich. This is not really a problem.
There you go. Perfect.
These problems tend to sort themselves out.
All right. Let's get to our next stories here, and it's time for 2 Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. Florida is always crazy. Got 2 stories here for you.
All right. We got to love some Florida stories.
Let's launch right into this one. A dude accused of driving around Port St. Lucie, Florida, naked and masturbating, got a room at the Gray Bar Motel. The motel reported that the mobile masturbating man, 41-year-old Gregory White, was arrested on 2 counts of exposure of sexual organs.
Whatever happened to indecent exposure?
No, we have
why is it exposure of, what was it, exposure of sexual organs?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
It just sounds so much worse with, like, the scientific names, you know? Sexual organs.
The first count...
Was he masturbating the entire time?
Apparently he was.
So he's driving and he's masturbating. He gets out of the car. He's still cranking it. He walks up to the counter. He's like, I'd like a room and quickly, please. I just put an awful image in your head, didn't I? Yes, just walking up to the counter. Quick, I need a room.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Like, look, buddy, you don't understand. I've got a serious problem on my hands. I need your cheapest, dirtiest room possible as soon as you can.
Oh, baby, you're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
Oh, all right, in the first case, a woman told dispatchers that a naked man was driving a green Ford Mustang slowly around a supermarket parking lot.
he's just circling the parking lot, checking out all those hot middle-aged women doing their grocery shopping in the middle of the day. Oh, yeah, baby.
You put those groceries in your trunk. Oh, yeah.
Unload those brown paper bags, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, mama.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, yeah. Unload those cantaloupes. I got a banana here for you, baby. But realistically, who plans their day? Like, today I'm going to get naked and drive around the grocery store parking lot while jerking off.
The woman got the license plate number, and Port St. Lucie police determined the vehicle was linked to another incident. In that case, a man was reported to be masturbating in traffic near a home improvement store.
he's got a thing for, like, shopping centers.
Yeah. What the hell?
Here's something weird, though, because I think mostly men go to home improvement stores. So what is he, you know... I don't know. Hey, you know, whatever floats his boat.
Yeah, maybe he swings both ways, you know?
Yeah, he's got a thing for wood. I mean, the wood at the hardware store, right?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So there's nothing inappropriate about saying that. They have a lot of 2x4s.
Oh, wait.
A lot of...
Wait, this gets better.
Oh, I can't imagine it getting any better than it already is, Rich.
So, police researched the tag further... So they already have now a previous incident.
Okay.
They already have now a current eyewitness saying that he was driving around the supermarket parking lot.
Right.
Touching himself. Then they have him now at a hotel. They run the license plate tag. They find out that the car is registered to Gregory White's wife.
See, he's not getting enough action at home. So, that's why he's got to go out to the grocery store.
Then, remember I said two exposures of sexual organ warrants?
Right, sexual organ. That's still just gross.
So,
I don't know.
Actually, this was all one. Then the second...
That's
all one, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The second count was, they said Gregory White was leaving a BJ's Wholesale Club on Route 1.
What is it about shopping that gets him going? Oh, man. Oh, those cash registers.
And he, quote, immediately started touching himself while driving. He kept it up all the way until the police pulled him over 11 miles from the BJ Wholesale Club.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
11 miles. Damn.
They arrested him. They had him in for questioning. White told police that, quote, I may have my hand down my pants when you caught me, but I definitely was not naked. And, quote, this is in the police report, quote, if anyone saw anything, it was my penis. I know that in general. I know that in general, it is not good for people to see your genitals while you're all driving.
I thought he said that he's had his clothes on, but then he said people saw his penis.
Yeah. So he might have been just reaching down there, you know. fixing some things.
What do you say? It's usually not good for
business. And then I love that last line. I know that in general, it is not good for people to see your genitals while you are driving.
So read between the lines. What he's saying is, in general, what he means is most normal people. But me? That's an exception. Yeah. Everybody wants to see this. And he just whips it out right there. Oh, my God.
Really? This is like four different cases. I can't believe he's only being tried for two counts.
He's a serial masturbator.
Yeah.
He just can't stop. Why is it shopping centers?
Yeah, you're right. It's all shopping centers.
Like, he's watching people, but he's also driving, and he's also working the stick shift as he's driving. Get it? Ba-dum-sh. Oh, come on. That was a good one.
Well, there you go. This guy, Gregory White, there's something wrong with him. And he has a wife, too. What the hell?
He's not getting any at home. Come on.
What the hell? So, wow.
Oh, that's amazing.
Four different cases. I love that quote.
In general.
I know that in general, it is not good for people to see your genitals while you are driving.
What he's insinuating is that this is one of the exceptions.
I'm the exception.
He's the exception to the rule, yeah. If people see his penis while driving,
good for you.
It's like a blessing. They're like, oh, thank God, my life is complete now. That's what he's saying. That's what he means when he says, in general, right?
It's a miracle!
That's what he's saying as he's driving off. Yeah.
It's a miracle!
Oh, my God.
It's a miracle!
That's amazing. That guy, wow. I don't understand. You're just like struck with the mood and you just can't, it's just gotta be right then and there while you're driving and like a Home Depot parking lot or what was the other one? A BJ's Wholesale, which is
BJ's Wholesale.
Which is funny because it's called BJ's. Yep.
A home improvement store.
And a grocery store.
And a supermarket parking lot. And a motel. Really, it's four. Really, it's four different places. I don't know why he's only getting two counts.
Because maybe it was Florida. Continuous.
Like, it's continuous, so it's only one crime.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get too graphic here, but if he doesn't finish in between the two locations, it's all one count, right?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Maybe it only counts every time you take it out and then put it away. All right, so you take it out. That's one count. You put it away. You take it out again. That's a second count. But because he only took it out once.
All right. Let's move on to the next story.
Which is like, what have I wrought?
Yeah. Let's move on to the next story here.
Well, this is the problem with these odd news stories, though, is that you get into the nitty gritty details and you want to know the logistics. Okay. Like, how do they determine how many counts that is? It was four locations. It's just, I would hate to be the cop on that case and doing like the paperwork and the research. Like, now, how many times did you touch yourself, sir? Did you finish each time? It's like, you know, those are the questions that he probably has to ask. That's awful.
All right, let's move on to the next story.
All right, yeah, let's move on.
And it's another Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy. Because the first one was so good.
Yeah, this one's a little bit more funnier. Just to imagine. Newport Richie Police and the Pasco County Sheriff's Office.
What was that name? Newport Richie?
Yeah. Newport Richie. I guess.
Wait, like Port Richie.
Yeah. Newport Richie.
Okay.
I guess this is my Florida alter ego.
Yeah.
Newport Richie. All right.
There you go. Apparently you own a town in Florida. Oh,
apparently, yeah.
Or a port, rather.
Newport Richie Police and Pasco County Sheriff's Office said that 56-year-old Lisa Myers was being pursued by a deputy heading north on Route 19. The deputy, police say, saw her dozing behind the wheel. Myers eventually stopped by a Newport Richie police cruiser involved in the chase, but when a highway officer stepped in front of her car to prevent her from driving off, she accelerated back onto the highway.
Oh, no. Not good.
But whatever she was on, she did not cause that much of a pursuit because the two sheriff's deputies and the Newport Richie police officer that followed Myers through the town clocked her going a rapid speed of 17 miles per hour.
Tell me, officer, do you have any idea how fast you were going?
I guess I was going about 65 tops.
Seven miles an hour. And normally when I stop people, they pull onto the shoulder.
That's Black Sheep.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Chris Farley and Black Sheep. 17 miles an hour, though.
Yeah.
Woo. Wow.
This is dramatic right here.
I don't even know if you can coast that slow. That's really slow. Have you ever tried to follow the speed limits in parking lots where it's like 10 miles an hour?
Oh, yeah. It's painful.
You can't even move. The car is just at a standstill. It's ridiculous.
The pursuit ended when she jumped the curb in front of Newport Richey Police Station.
You can't really.
She went. The end of the pursuit is at the police station.
It wasn't a pursuit. She was trying to turn herself in. She's a good citizen, is what this is. She's a good citizen.
Oh, one more thing.
Oh, okay.
She jumped the curb, made it into the parking lot of the Newport Richey Police Station, then backed up and slammed into one of the police cruisers. she probably actually went faster backing up.
Probably.
Than the actual chase forward.
I don't think you can jump the curb either at 17 miles an hour. It's more like a bump. You know?
Tell me, officer, do you have any idea how fast you were going?
I guess I was going about 65, tops.
Seven miles an hour. And normally when I stop people, they pull onto the shoulder.
Oh, that's awesome.
No injuries were reported. Myers has been charged with 3 counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer, fleeing and eluding police with disregard for safety of persons.
I don't think you can really.
And leaving the scene of an accident.
I really don't think you can.
Wow.
I really don't think you can get that second one.
This
because
is BS, alright?
She's only going 17 miles an
this
hour.
This poor lady's going only 17 miles per hour. She's getting 2 felonies. This guy, the other guy in our previous story, is jerking off and he's only getting 2 exposure charges.
Yeah, that's insane.
Florida, what the hell's going on?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Yeah. You guys have this backwards.
That doesn't make any sense. A woman's driving 17 miles an hour.
She's getting 2 felonies.
2 felonies.
Yeah.
Some guy's jerking off in shopping centers. And he's like, ah, you're okay.
2 counts.
You can go. You're free to go. But don't do it again.
Don't you do it again. All right. We're done Florida. Let's go hometown. We're going to
Going back to
Pennsylvania. And we're going to a town. We're going to Beaver, Pennsylvania. God.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Beaver, you said Beaver, Pennsylvania.
Yep. A grenade that led authorities to evacuate a Pennsylvania County courthouse was a gag gift that was intended for a newly elected sheriff.
Why would you think that's an appropriate gift?
It's a gift.
It's like, oh, I know, this will be a really funny gift to give to the president. A pipe bomb! Come on.
The grenade is harmless. It's one of the desktop ones where it's mounted on a plaque saying, complaint department, take a number.
Right.
But unfortunately, the Beaver County Sheriff's Department took it seriously and ordered a full evacuation as a precaution after the box was x-rayed as a part of the incoming mail that day.
Well, yeah, because somebody could disguise a real grenade as a fake grenade.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's a dumb gift.
The courthouse was evacuated. The Beaver courthouse.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Beaver courthouse was evacuated for 80 minutes, and a bomb squad was on call until it was discovered to be a gag gift. No one has been charged for the incident.
So they don't know who gave the gift.
It was a friend.
It was
a friend of the new elected sheriff.
Here's a question. So you're friends with the sheriff. Are you going to get charged with a crime, or is he going to let you go?
I guess he's going to let him go.
This is going to test that friendship right now.
No one got charged.
Yeah. We'll see. That would suck, wouldn't it, though? Like, you try to give a gag gift to your friend, and instead you get arrested?
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
That's how they do things in Beaver, Pennsylvania.
They stuff beavers?
And they don't,
grenades, apparently.
Yeah. They
whoops.
They take all grenades seriously.
They do.
All right.
This is a dumb gift.
Let's go to this story here. Going to Montana.
I don't know if we've ever been to Montana. It's one of those states that's just like out there, you know? And it's like when you name the states, You never think of Montana. Because really, what's in Montana? There's nothing there. What do they have? Trees. I mean, I guess they have some fields and stuff.
Well, they've got this story here.
Okay, this is going to put them on the map is what you're saying.
Police in Montana said that a man was arrested after he called authorities to report that, quote, I've been ripped off while trying to buy meth.
Okay.
Officers in Butt, Montana.
Oh, come on, really?
Yep, so guess what? It's butt drugs.
I recommend butt drugs for everybody.
I can always count on butt drugs.
When I think drugs, I think butt drugs.
For all my health needs, I turn to butt drugs.
You want hometown service and cheap hot coffee
and liquor. Now that's the ticket.
You can tell Walmart, CVS, and Walgreens exactly where to stick it. Butt drugs.
We love butt drugs.
Butt drugs won't let you down.
Free parking in the rear.
I love butt drugs.
Yep.
This is butt drugs.
Wow. Officers in Butt, Montana said that 31-year-old Dean May Jr. called the police Wednesday night to report that he had paid a female drug dealer $60 for an amount of crystal meth, but the woman took the money without providing the damn drugs.
Oh, what a bitch.
How dare you?
How dare she?
Investigators said that May was found to be intoxicated and under the influence of meth, which was also a violation of his probation.
Just one mistake after another. I'll never understand. Well, I guess in this case, he was like too out of it to understand what he was doing. But we've had other stories where people contact the police for getting ripped off for drugs or, you know, whatever it is. Clearly illegal, whatever the illegal activity is, they call the cops. And what do they think? Like, the cops can't arrest them because...
I'm being honest,
yeah. So, therefore, I'm immune to the crime, you know, or whatever. It doesn't make any sense.
All right. And I've got one more story for you.
Okay.
This is in Michigan, and it happens... It starts at a Walmart. Oh, yeah. So, you already know we're off to a good start here.
Well, what are you talking about? Walmart is a very classy place.
Well... Let's see if you think the same thing after this.
Of course I will. Don't besmirch the name of Walmart. Go ahead.
Authorities in Michigan said that a couple who became engaged at Walmart with a loudspeaker proposal celebrated their engagement by shoplifting jewelry, underwear, and sex toys.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Walmart has sex toys? Since when?
Well, hold on.
Wait, really?
Hold on. Give it a second.
Okay. Give it a second. I got to let this story percolate is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Bay County Sheriff's Office said that 25-year-old William J. Cornelius Jr. purchased a $30 engagement ring from the Walmart.
$30 engagement ring?
Yeah. Woo. Classy here.
Jeez. Wow. Why didn't you just go to the little quarter machine, you know?
And secured the permission of employees to use the store's loudspeaker to propose to his girlfriend, 20-year-old Sherry Moore. Surveillance footage from the store shows Cornelius going down on one knee and everyone applauding the couple after Moore accepted the proposal. Investigators said that security cameras also recorded Moore then trying to conceal earrings and a necklace from Walmart in her purse before the couple left the store without paying for the items. But... that's when they decided to go for another store because right next to the Walmart was a Spencer's.
Oh.
That was where Cornelius allegedly tried to shoplift $80 worth of sex items, including bride-to-be thong panties, edible underwear, and vibrating sex toys. So get this straight. He stole more
in
from
sex
the
toys.
Spencer's store in sex toys than the engagement ring that he bought at the Walmart.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Priorities.
Yes.
He's got his priorities exactly as they should be. Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Well, they were obviously getting ready for their honeymoon, you know? You gotta be prepared with your $30 wedding ring.
And $80
worth of sex toys.
Deputies found Moore walking inside the mall with a Spencer's employee in pursuit. Cornelius was found in the food court where he fell asleep trying to tie his shoes.
What?
Yes.
How do you fall asleep trying to tie your shoes? How tired are you?
Cornelius blames his actions on being given painkiller Tramadol during a recent hospital visit. Very
what?
Specific.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I had Tramadol. What? Okay.
That's okay. This is just a very weird story.
Yep. Cornelius was charged with retail fraud, while Moore was charged with larceny. So, there you go.
When he says his actions are because of the trauma, what was it, Tramadol?
Tramadol.
Does he mean all of his actions, including stealing the stuff? Or does he mean just falling asleep while tying his shoes?
Oh, man, I didn't even know I had a girlfriend.
Yeah, who are you?
Why did you say yes to me?
Because you promised me $80 worth of sex toys, of course.
No, okay.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That's a pretty good wedding, though. What is that, like $110 for the whole thing?
Yeah, and 80 of it spent on sex toys.
I mean, that's a pretty good deal. That's like a Groupon deal right there. Could you imagine Groupon deal for that? Oh, a $30 engagement ring. Wow.
And there you go. That's what I have for you in the non-fortune cookie odd news. But before we officially wrap it up, let's go over everything that we've learned. It's time for What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind loves flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned on this episode?
I've learned that it's important to treat your woman right and always spend double the cost of her engagement ring on sex toys.
That would be important.
That is very important. That is very important in any successful marriage. We've also learned that Florida is backwards. A woman who was driving 17 miles an hour gets 2 felonies, while a man who was jerking off 17 times gets basically nothing.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame. We also learned that Jesus is opening a discount candy store in California.
Yeah.
He has his very own jingle set to the Price is Right theme song.
Sure.
It's going to be great. He sells all discounted candies. It's fun for the whole family. Make sure to check that one out. It's definitely not a scam. Speaking of scams, if you're named Jesus, you're probably a criminal.
Yeah, at this rate.
We've had an odd number of stories where people are named Jesus and they're criminals.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's just a weird correlation that we found.
Well, it's all right. I can keep playing the Big Lebowski clip.
Exactly. That's all that matters. I also learned that if I were ever to get an apartment, I would give my neighbors a stupidity quiz so that I would know what my probability of dying is. Because in an apartment complex, your neighbors will be your undoing.
Yep.
I also learned that apparently listening to all this odd news means that I have a running list of favorite poop stories.
Yeah.
And I have 2 favorite poop stories. Pootaloo and the fecal epicenter, impact of the fecal, whatever that story. I can never remember the title of that one.
Yeah,
that one.
Fecal epicenter impact.
The epicenter of the fecal impact.
Yeah,
that's what
it
is.
There you go.
And finally, love Batman.
Yes.
Richly
love
big,
Batman.
2016.
Everyone love Batman.
Yes.
And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo! A good episode there.
Good show, good show. Good form.
Good form, good form, good show.
You got to bring that back for 2016.
Yeah. Start saying good form. I like that. Good form.
I like it, too.
Well, folks, this is the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook and Twitter. Search The Crispy Noodle and you should be able to find us there.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube where you can find some of our best bits, interviews, and other fun videos. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, or your tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And make sure to check out our SoundCloud page where we have the Mini Noodle promos, where we take the best bits of you know, the absolute craziest moments on the podcast. We shrink them down to like a 2-minute little promo that you can easily share with friends and family and strangers and people.
Strangers.
Yeah. Why not?
Co-workers. Especially the strangers.
Yeah.
They will definitely appreciate you playing those promos for them. And they're going to be like, yeah, who are you? And what is this magnificent podcast you're yep, talking about?
And the next time you're in a candy store, share them the podcast.
Share it with Jesus.
Share it with Jesus.
Of course.
Perfect.
Oh, so many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and you can chat with us individually. Why not?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's going to do it for this episode.
Yeah, I think that's just about it.
Keep an eye on the divisional games this weekend. Should be a lot of fun to watch. And we'll be coming back at you with more dramatic music in the sports
that's
sampler.
That's like the main selling point the past 2 weeks is the dramatic music.
The dramatic
in
music.
In the one subsection of our segment.
Yes. Make sure to listen.
What's the next dramatic music going to be? Yep. Tune in next week to find out.
Find out, kids. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.